Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Thabo Ncube. Today on Live Talk, we are discussing the fight against corruption in Zimbabwe. But first, U.S. President Joe Biden is rejecting calls by some in his political party to step down as his candidate following a debate with Donald Trump last month in which Biden sometimes struggled. If Biden is not the Democrats' nominee, who will be? VOA's correspondent Scott Stearns looks at some contenders.
President Joe Biden says he's in this race to win.
I think I'm the most qualified person to run for president.
Following his debate struggles late last month, some leaders of his party are calling on Biden to step down as the presumptive Democratic nominee. But after months of voter primaries and caucuses, the Democratic Party cannot force him out, says University of Virginia Center for Politics Director Larry Sabato.
There is only one way for a nominee to be removed, and that is for the nominee to decide not to run before the convention, to open it up, to let the, in this case, Democratic National Committee set the rules for the convention.
If Biden does step down, Vice President and running mate Kamala Harris would top the list of Democrats to replace him. Harris says Biden is the party's nominee and demonstrated her loyalty by sliding Trump, who has split from his former Vice President Mike Pence.
Note, between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, only one candidate on that stage has the endorsement of his own vice president. Joe Biden.
Harris, as the party's presidential nominee, might help with independent voters, says University of Southern California political science professor Christian Gross.
The one thing with Kamala Harris that I think makes her a little bit more electable than Biden right now, so if you look at the polling, there's more independents who are undecided about her. So she can persuade people in a way that Biden maybe can't persuade people to move.
Also on the completely unofficial list of people who might replace Biden is California Governor Gavin Newsom. He, too, says he's backing Biden and showed his support campaigning for the president's reelection in Michigan last week.
I care about, you know, results and outputs, and he's produced. And so, you know, I'll leave more objective minds to judge that. But I'm not looking for a performer-in-chief. I'm looking for a commander-in-chief.
Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer is among those discussed as a possible Biden replacement. She, too, says she's still backing the president. Whitmer won re-election in an important swing state and is popular with national Democrats for supporting labor unions and efforts to combat gun violence.
Week after week in America, we see grim, familiar headlines. Every place you can think of, every situation you can imagine has been shattered by gun violence.
Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear is less known nationally than Newsom or Whitmer, but he is a popular governor in a southern region dominated by Republican politics. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker hosts this year's Democratic convention and has the personal wealth to self-finance much of what would be a last-minute presidential run. And then there's former First Lady Michelle Obama, who has consistently rejected any notion of running for office, but who remains popular with many voters. A Reuters Ipsos poll last week showed Biden and Trump in a tie, but Michelle Obama beating Trump by more than 10 percentage points. Sabato says there's no way she's running.
She's much too smart after 8 years in the White House to want to go back, much less to be president. So, you know, we could speculate about names all night long. But what matters is who has the intense ambition, the ability to raise money, and the opportunity to put together the kind of coalition that could produce a majority in the convention.
If Biden stays in the race, that speculation about other names may carry on through next month's Democratic Party convention in Chicago. Scott Stearns, VOA News.
South Africa's newly appointed Minister of Sports, a self-described former gangster, wants to promote a sport that has associations with South African gangster culture. The sport of spinning involves fast-moving cars and dangerous stunts. And as Kate Bartlett reports from Johannesburg, the way it's conducted is not always legal.
This is spinning. A turbocharged sport where drivers spin cars in quick, tight circles while passengers perform treacherous, sometimes death-defying stunts. The sport got its start in South Africa's poor townships during apartheid.
We have the best drivers in spinning. And you can see today, you can see there's no seat belts, there's no brakes, there's no windscreens, there's no helmets, but these people can control their cars. They are super, super, super drivers. I scream till my voice is gone, the way I'm excited about this sport.
Marvin Clark promoted this event, which drew several hundred paid spectators. Some spinning is at organized legal events like this one, but much of it takes place on the streets, where out-of-control cars have killed spectators in the past. Those events are illegal and associated with gangsters. One such former gangster is Gayton McKenzie, who was sentenced to 17 years for armed robbery in his youth.
I grew up where the area that you are born in decided which you don't have a choice in which gang you become. As a gangster, going to jail was a badge of honor. You've made your bones.
He came out of prison and went into politics, running on a populist anti-immigrant platform. Now he's South Africa's controversial new Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture.
And there's two reasons why I want to do this. Well, three reasons. Reason number one, there's a massive interest. It was my first point I made to you. The second point you made is it's dangerous because they're doing it everywhere because the police are chasing them sometimes. Now, once you regulate it, once you make it safer, and once you put the rules there that you can't do this, you can't do that.
The longtime spinning aficionado says his first task in the job will be to promote the sport. Renowned car spinner Kyla Oliphant says she's hopeful about McKenzie's tenure as sports minister.
He'd like to make spinning big for us, legalize it. Obviously, we'd have the government behind us. I'm hoping that everything is going to go in the right direction, having funding for us, assisting us.
She explains how the sport originally started in the townships as a funeral rite to honor the deceased.
I think spinning is unique to South Africa, like each and every country has their own thing. Spinning back then started before my time. It started off as, people used to steal cars and spin around the coffin of their leaders.
For many who grew up in South Africa's impoverished urban areas, danger was always a reality, and spinning was, and still is, a way of life. Kate Bartlett, VOA News, Johannesburg.
With that, let's take a short break. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming this discussion live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Now, back to our topic. Today on Live Talk, we are discussing the fight against corruption in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe marked African Anti-Corruption Day yesterday, amid a wave of ongoing corruption scandals, some linked to the ruling elite, including President Emmerson Mnangagwa and his inner circle. The commemoration, led by the Zimbabwe Anti-Corruption Commission and joined by various stakeholders such as the Zimbabwe Coalition on Debt and Development and Transparency International, among others, comes as the country is grappling with rampant corruption. A presidential got-a-pass-on project was recently allegedly thrown into disarray when two Zimbabweans, Mike Chimombe and Moses Mpofu, converted $7 million United States dollars to their own use. They are in remand prison facing charges of fraud. There are many cases of alleged corruption also related to government projects involving millions of dollars. Zimbabwe is rated by Transparency International as among some nations with rampant state-associated corruption that is crippling public development and fueling a national debt crisis. Attending yesterday's march in Harare, Mr. Tafadzwa Chikumbo of Transparency International had this to say.
Transparency International Zimbabwe. Tinoona Zimbabwe Corruption Commission sevari kuedza kutora matanho ekuti huori hurwiswe munyika uye nekushandidzana zvakanyanya neisusu massive social organizations kuti huori hurwiswe. Asi tinoona kuti mukurwiswa kuhuori ikoko tinotarisira kuti zvikunduke kubva mukutaura kusvika mukuita, especially takatarisana nevanhu vanoita huori vaine ukama nevanhu vatinoti mapolitical exposed persons. Saka tinoona kuti izvozvo ndo nyaya huru ichiri kutileta seTransparency International uye nekuti nyaya padzinobva kuZimbabwean Corruption Commission dzinoenda kunational prosecuting authority nekuzobuda kwadzo tinotarisira kuti varambe vachivandudza mashandiro avo kuitira kuti nyaya idzodzo dzisvike pakupedzwa.
That was Transparency International Executive Director, Mr. Tafadzwa Chikumbo, speaking to reporters in Harare. Mr. Ndwe Mlobane, ZAC spokesperson, also attended the event.
Ilanga leli lanamhla 11 July 2024 liqhakatheke kakhulu ngoba amazwe wonke aseAfrica avumelana ukuthi uqhakathekile ukuvikela ubugwelegwele ngokuqinisa ubudlelwano phakathi kwama institutions ayiwo alwisana the crime. So abambene, so ngikho ilanga lanamhla liqakathekile ngoba sithe sihlangane nini sonke silikhumbule leli langa ukwenzela ukuthi silihlale liqakathekile ezimpilweni zethu. Kodwa sisazi ukuthi ilanga lingamhlaka 11 July yilo ilanga eliqakathekiswayo e-Afrika, izwekazi le-Afrika, ngoba amazwe avumelana ukuthi kumele ukuze i-Afrika iphumelele kumele ubugwelegwele buningwe ngoba i-Afrika inothile kodwa inotho yayo iyaphuma ngendlela ezingalunganga, iphuma isiya kwamanye amazwe, inothisa amanye amazwe, kukanti i-Afrika yiyo abanikazi benotho.
That was Ms. Tandiwe Mlobane, ZAC spokesperson, speaking in Harare. Now, to discuss this issue, we are joined on the line by Mr. Tafadzwa Chikumbu, the Executive Director of Transparency International. Welcome to the program, Mr. Chikumbu.
Thank you so much, my brother.
We are also joined by a political analyst and ZANPF member, Mr. Mavaza. Welcome to the program. Mr. Mavaza is on Skype.
Welcome, Mr. Nube. Welcome, Zimbabwe, and good evening, Zimbabwe.
Thank you. Mr. Chikumbu, we'll start with you. Looking at the issue of corruption in Zimbabwe, how would you rate corruption in Zimbabwe comparing to other African countries? We've been seeing a number of issues on the papers where people are accused of corruption. What's the situation on the ground?
Thank you very much, my brother. Corruption in Zimbabwe, as we look at it now, is very rampant, and it's Transparency International Zimbabwe. We feel that there's corruption with impunity. As long as there are no punitive measures to be leveled at of corruption, we will actually continue in the same space where the country is highly regarded as a country which is highly corrupt. According to Transparency International, we actually have a score that we call Corruption Perception Index, where countries that score closer to zero are regarded to be highly corrupt, and those that score are closer to 100 are regarded to be as less corrupt. And in that particular score, Zimbabwe has scored 24 out of 100 in 2023, which is quite concerning to us, considering that this particular figure is way below the sub-Saharan regional average of 33 out of 100. So what it means is that if your performance is below the regional average, it actually means that your score is way below most of the countries. So in Zimbabwe, we are still grappling with issues of corruption, not just looking at the index, but also looking at what is happening on the ground, where on a daily basis, there's actually a new scandal that arises. And, you know, when you look at the court of public opinion, people would actually have the expectation that probably the perpetrators are going to be prosecuted to finality, and that they can actually be convicted. But in most cases, that especially involved highly politically connected persons, we've seen most of the people actually being acquitted, which leaves a lot to be desired. If you look at the Observer's report, which was released yesterday, we also noted with concern the high levels of corruption that's happening in government ministries and other government entities. When you look at the specific case of the Presidential Debt Scheme that you mentioned earlier on, for me, the issue is not about the two individuals who failed to produce authentic documents, valid tax documents, but my issue is about the chamber itself. Because you can't tell me that you have a procurement where we need to procure goods worth 7 million in a country with barely 16 million people. I'm looking at the number of votes. And given that the other population in Zimbabwe is around 7 million, that simply means that each and every person is allocated 1 million each to procure votes. So for me, the corruption is actually institutionalized, and it's quite rampant, and we need to do something quickly to ensure that we address it. And the challenge that we also see is that negative perception that we have, that also has, that the investors also have, actually affects the country's score. It also affects people's perceptions who actually want to come and invest in Zimbabwe. So we are quite concerned about the rampant corruption in our country. And if you look at other countries like Botswana, Seychelles, and also Angola. Angola was previously known for high levels of corruption, especially during the previous regime. But when the new president came into place, he managed to clean his country. And Transparency International, we actually saw a big leap in the corruption perception index, where they actually recovered assets which were actually being kept by the former president and his family. And so those kind of strides are something that we are also expecting in Zimbabwe. But so far, yeah, we have not much positive to say around the fight against corruption. Of course, we have a lot that we can say in terms of the National Corruption started being in place, the legal framework being in place. But for me, it's about implementation and enforcement.
Thank you. Dr. Mavaza, you heard what Mr. Chikumbu highlighted. Where do you think the problem is? Looking at issues around the corruption in Zimbabwe, we see that most of these cases involve government tenders. We've seen the former health minister, Dr. Moyo. We've seen Jivayo issue, the Moses Mpofu, Mike Chimombe, and many others that involve government tenders. Where really is the issue, and what needs to be done?
Thank you very much, Mr. Ngobe. I've listened and I've heard my colleagues speaking, but what we need to look at the moment is not how we fare in the world on the index rating or in the corruption ratings for in the world. Well, let's look into our own country. Let's look at Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is doing very well. The government is doing very well in trying to combat corruption. There is no country without corruption. But we have, under the new dispensation, turned the tables around. We have people being arrested. I'll tell you, like today, the daughter of the Minister of Defense, Madam Kashiri, daughter Tanya, was arrested today for corruption, for fraud, things which were not used to happen in Zimbabwe before. But now we were told clearly, as Minister Ziyami said in last month, says that these days, anybody who commits a crime in Zimbabwe will be arrested. We look at the Mike Chimombe and Mpofu issue. These guys were very rich, and Chimombe being a senator in ZANU-PF, quite high ranking. But when the crime they committed came out clear, they were arrested. And they are still in custody pending the decision on their bail. So in other words, when you look at this, we do not actually cover corruption by running around and arresting people, but we investigate. And when we investigate, and when the investigations are done, then the culprits will be arrested. Otherwise, we stand a risk of having a situation where people think we are catching and releasing. Now, we need to say and to applaud ZANU-PF as a party and the Zimbabwean government and the President Emmerson Mnangagwa as the leader, because he has actually stood up straight right against corruption. Yes, people might have said things, people talk. People have labeled Zimbabwe a corrupt country. People have labeled our government a corrupt government. But if we look at the things, we are now dealing with these issues head on. We are not only talking, but we are talking and acting. We have the Zimbabwe Anti-Corruption Commission, which actually is now on the ground running. Yes, we agree. The previous times, there were problems where people are arrested today, released tomorrow. But we need to understand one point. Being arrested and released does not mean the case is over. Some people are given bail, some people are not. It all depends with the complexity of the case and the complexity of the person in question. So, yes, we are fighting corruption as a country. And as we marked the Anti-Corruption Day yesterday, you could tell that Zimbabwe, yes, people in the streets, they don't understand the intricacies of the law. They don't understand what happened in the investigation.
Yes,
the delays, in short, just to respond to what my colleague had said earlier on, Zimbabwe has not failed in dealing with corruption. It has taken a slow route, but we are getting there. And I think we should be applauded as a country. ZANU-PF must be applauded for standing against corruption. Before you cut me short, Mr. Ngobe, I know there is an issue of the Chivayo boasting that is handling the government in his hands. Those are gossip. Those are the talks. But when there is evidence against Chivayo, he will be arrested. When there is evidence against anybody, be it a minister, be it the child of a minister, we had Ms. Mtangwa's son in custody before. The case is not over. It's still going ahead.
You are Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Mavaza. We'll come to you briefly, back to you briefly. Vachikumbu, ti murukunzwa zvikutaurwa na Dr. Mavaza panyaya iyi. Muno zvitorawo sei panyaya yekuti vari kuti hongu corruption iripo asi hurumende yatanga kuti imhanyamhanye igadzirise. Imimi munozviona sei muchidimbo?
Ndinofara kuti chiremba vabuka pachena kuti corruption irimo. I think ndo chinhu chatofanira kuwirirana as a country, that we should identify a problem, and if we identify a problem, zvinozotibatsira kuti tigadzirise dambudziko racho. So the first thing that we need to acknowledge the ZANU-PF party, which my colleague is representing, also acknowledges that corruption is happening. Because of current story of the kana tabvuma kuti corruption iri kuitika, tinofanira kuva nemitemo inosungira kuti tibate vanhu vanoita hore. Izvozvo ndiri kuona veZimbabwean Corruption Commission vari kuzama nepese pavanogona kuti vabate vanhu vakadai, asi tinoona kuti dambudziko irori harisi kupera. Ndinodzoka zvakare panyaya yangu yandambotaura yekuti kana mutemo especially wekupanisha kana kuonesera vanhu vanenge vaita huoni, kana usina kusimbarara zvakanyanya, tinoona kuti vanhu vazhinji vanoramba vachingoita huori. Saka tinowanzosungira kuti hurumende vai zvichikwanisa vaedza kumeka sure kuti punitive measures especially against those people that are corrupt, and also we would want to have institutions that are strong enough to provide evidence in court that can actually help us to win cases of corruption. Because the problem that we have is we have big names avari kudedza kuti tina munhu akati, asi kuburikidza kumashure uku taive nemamwe makesisi akakura, mamwe maminista achienda kumagheri.
Vachikumbu, regaiti Vachikumbu, ndichakumbira kukumisai mbichana kuti mungopa mashoko enyu pachidimbu kuitira kuti vamabvaza vawanewo vemukana wekupenderawo chirongwa nguva dzisati dzapera.
Tinotenda. Saka ndaa ndichiti tinoona mazita makuru mamwe aitaurwa evanhu vakabatwa vachinzi vakaita huori vakasungwa vakagara mumagheri, asi nekufamba kwenguva tinoona kuti pakashayikwa umbowo ende vanhu ivavo vakaenda kudzimba. Saka hatina garandi yekuti vanhu vari mumagheri zvezvi vana Chimombe nana Mpofu kuti vachange varimo uye pachatongwa nyaya dzavo vachawanikwa vaine mhosva. Saka ndo zvimwe zvezvimwe zvinoita kuti
yatinotenda tinotenda Vachikumbu. Dr. Mavaza, you can react to that in a minute tichipendera chirongwa.
Thank you very much. Just to say to Mr. Chikumbu and Zimbabwe at large, corruption is not handled by gossip. There have to be facts, there have to be evidence. And when a person is arrested and spends some time awaiting trial, if he's acquitted, it does not mean that we have not been fighting corruption. Their duty is to arrest people who are corrupt, but it does not...
Tinotenda vamabvaza. That brings us to the end of our show. Unfortunately, nguva ndo yaita shoma. Signing off in Washington, I am Tavoka Ncube.